that in order for Satan to bind you or to hold you captive, he must do so with a lie, something that he can hold on to. He has to hold you with something. I want to welcome you to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the Word. Tonight we'll be speaking from the subject of straighten up. Straighten up. How many mothers desire to tell their children that? How many fathers desire to tell their sons that? Straighten up. And we'll look at scripture tonight from the book of St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke, the 13th chapter. We're going to look from verses number 6 straight on down. There are some wonderful word here that the Lord wants to give us. And I know that tonight you will catch the revelation of what the Holy Spirit is saying. Luke 13, verse number 6. And it says, "And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also." So this would be the conclusion of the third and starting of the fourth. He said, "Let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." We're going to put our car in park just for a second and see an unproductive fig tree, an unproductive life, one that has been hanging around for quite a while, one that has the ability to produce fruit, the ability to produce life, but there's nothing there. There's a hindrance. This tree, this life, needs to straighten up. Let's look a little bit further. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately, say immediately. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." But let me tell you, any day to be healed is a good day. I don't care what day it is. You've had a condition for 18 years. Any day is a good day. Hallelujah. And the Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doeth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Now let's take a walk around. I love this. Let's take a walk around. Here we see a woman in this text for 18 years. That's a long time. 18 years, Jesus says that she has been bound by Satan. Bound by Satan for 18 years. Notice the position of her body. The Bible declares that that she was bowed over. Amplified Bible says that she was bowed over so much that she could not in any wise straighten up. She couldn't even look up. She was bowed over. She was completely forward, completely bent forward, or she was fixed forward in somewhat, we could say, of an L position. Imagine that. You're in an ill position for 18 years. Her head is somewhere between her waist and her kneecaps for 18 years. What would that mean? 18 years. She was not productive for 18 years. For 18 years, she could only look to where she was and never to where she was going. This condition was probably manifested through some form of arthritis. And it was probably too painful for her to straighten up. It caused way too much pain. Anybody ever had any back pain before? And it's too painful. And it was so painful that it was debilitating. So awful. So for 18 years, she could only look at her feet. For 18 years, the only thing she could see was her feet. And possibly every once in a while, she was forced to look at a reproductive organ. Seeing the deadness of her own womb and wondering, could sons and daughters be birthed from this? But for 18 years, I've sought deliverance and could not find it. 18 years. It hurt me too much, I could hear the woman saying. It hurt me too much to look up from where I was to where I was going. It hurt me too much to think about the future. It hurt me too much for 18 years. I was stuck in this position, bound by Satan. Can't look forward to what might be. Can't take opportunities that may come my way because I'm in this shape. 18 years of people laughing or pointing or staring at you. 18 years of them talking about you and ridiculing you and mocking you. 18 years of that. Until finally, she heard that Jesus was in town. Oh, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody that could straighten me up. Somebody that can straighten me up, that can help me stand. Now notice what the word says. I want you to see something here. As the Lord Jesus uses very descriptive language about this young woman, about this woman. The Bible declares that in verse number 12, he tells her, "Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity." He gives her a word. Now, we're going to go back just for a moment, but notice, first of all, he gives her a preceding word. It was the word that loosed her, and it was also a word that bound her. Notice here in verse number 11, it says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity." Had a spirit of infirmity. Well, I love words. So what I do, I'll go into the Greek and find out, Lord, what does had mean? What does it actually mean? To had, the word had actually means, it does mean had, of course, but it also means to hold or to take possession of. So this thing had her and she also had it. This also reveals something else to us. That in order for Satan to bind you or to hold you captive, he must do so with a lie. Something that he can hold on to. He has to hold you with something. Look in the beginning of the very beginning, how he tempted Adam and Eve. He did so with words. And as his words come forth, they come forth as lies or even half-truths. And if we take hold of those lies or half-truths, they will bind us. You see, even as children, we were doing fine playing with one another until someone said, "You ought not play with her or him because they don't look like you." Even as children, we knew no fear until someone said, until they said, "You're not going to be anything," until they said, "You're going to be just like old Uncle Joe," until they said, "You're going to be just like this and that and the other." We were fine until their words found the place in our heart and bound us. We believed the lie. And that lie caused us to bow over. And so for many years, many of us are bowed over. We have many gifts, just like she has had. Many gifts, many things, can do many things. But we're so afraid to do them because they may laugh at me. They may talk about me. So I'll keep my gift. Oh, your presence is needed. They're on a drama team. They think you do a good thing. And you know you can act because you act like a drama queen. You know you can. You know you can act, but oh, I can't do that. Why? Because of something that has been said, something that happened. So we see the church, a lot of believers, bound, bent over. When it comes time to give the word of the Lord gives you a word to give that co-worker. I can't do that. Bent over. But there has to come a time when we decide, devil, you're not going to ride my back anymore. I'm not going to be ridden anymore. You're not going to bind me up anymore. I'm not a caged animal. I refuse to be bound by you. Let me give you a word of personal testimony because this speaks directly to me. For many years, the enemy had me bound because I had a stutter. I would stutter and I would stammer. Even back to my elementary school, I would stutter and stammer. And I can see, as if it were yesterday, the teacher going around the room and saying, "Class, today we're going to read." And boy, it filled my heart with panic. Oh my God, oh my God. I've got to say something out loud before a group of people. Hallelujah. And so when my time came up, what happened? Jane, and I can hear the snickering and then the laughter of the children as they called me All Day Mark. Oh, here comes All Day Mark. He gonna, and I remember that going up into high school, having to get before a group of people to say a word. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. Because I had been bound in my thinking that I had nothing to say that anybody wanted to hear. If I said it, then they would laugh at me again. So every time the opportunity would come up, I would retreat into a stutter. I can't. Until Jesus came in. Are you hearing what I am saying? For years I had been bound up, and still occasionally the enemy would try to come in my life with that mess. Let me give you another testimony. While I was pastoring, see, now y'all getting all in my business. While I was pastoring, there's a woman that came to our food bank program. And she said, "Pastor, I want you, if you would please, pray with my daughter. She's in jail, and they said that she murdered somebody. And would you go and just pray with her?" Fear came, huh? You want me? Well, I have nothing to say. "But, Pastor, please." And she pressed and she pressed and pressed. I said, "Okay, I'll go." Fear gripped my heart. I went into the jail, and I went back there and gave them my ID and told them who I was and who I was there to see. And they let me go back. And I sat there in front of this young lady as she wore her orange suit, and she did not look happy. And I sat there in front of her, praying, "God, give me a word." And so I opened my mouth, and stuttering and stammering came out. I thought, "Oh God, I'm failing you. This woman needs a word. And I can't give it to her." And I stuttered and I stammered. And I said, "Well, let me at least try to pray. And I know the Lord will deliver him when I at least try to pray." And so I put my hand there on the glass. And I began to try to pray. And I stuttered and I stammered and I stuttered and I stammered. And the only thing I could really get out was, "Amen."
Well, she looked up with the biggest smile, and here comes that old voice. You see, they're laughing at you again. They're laughing at you again. The deputy came and said, it's time. I said, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Well, I drove out the parking lot, and I went home, and I just about cried. Lord, I tried. And he consoled me, and I let it go. A year later, I saw her mother, and she says that her daughter was still talking about that. I said, what is she saying? She said, see, she said how you really blessed her that day. Was there another preacher there that day? No, it was you. She said you blessed her, and she took that and it strengthened her. And then it dawned on me. Whew. While I was having a hard time on this side of the glass, she was getting deliverance on that side of the glass. And it dawned on me that God didn't need my gifts as much as he needed just my availability. Because what I didn't know is that I was sitting there having the time of my life, oh, having a rough time, the presence of God was filling the other side of the glass. And it wasn't my stammering that she was hearing prophetic utterances. God was ministering to her. So even in my weakness was his strength made perfect. Are you hearing what's being said? So many of us are afraid, bound by a lie that was told us. But the question is, what are you afraid of? What lie is he holding you with? I'll be humiliated. They'll laugh. I can't do it. They'll think that I just don't know. But what if they think that? Is that the end of the world? What if they reject you? There are billions of other people on this planet. What if all those things happen? You see, I've learned to quantify my fears. Lord, what if this and that happens? Then what? Well, I won't die. That's a good start. Can you be comfortable with the bad that could happen? If you'll never be comfortable with the bad that could happen, you'll still be bent over for the rest of your life. And you'll wake up one day in your 70s or 80s or 90s wondering what could have been, what you could have done. Instead, say, Lord, if I stutter, I stutter. I'm still your son. I'm still your child. If I cry, if I giggle, people do strange things, let me tell you now. When you're under pressure, when the enemy is threatening you, if it happens, let it happen. But Lord, I am going to go. I'm willing. One day we've got to decide and we've got to say, Lord, if I die, then I die. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve you. We've got to realize that the Lord expects fruit from us. Fruit. Are we going to be like the gentleman that had the one talent and just go hide it and one day tell the Lord, Lord, I would have, but I was afraid. So I hid it. When are we going to be really begin to get comfortable with who God made us? He made you. I would go, but how about my hair? I would go, but I don't have the right clothes. I would go, but I don't know enough Bible. I would this, but. And we'll be bent over for the rest of our lives. But here's a word. In order for this woman to stand up and be straightened to straighten up, she heard another word from another voice. The Lord spoke to her, woman, you're loosed. You're freed from this. You're freed. But she was still bent over until he laid his hands upon her and helped her straighten up.
Look at that with me, verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately, what happens? She was made straight, and what happened? And glorified God. She didn't glorify him before, but the moment she straightened up, then the glory came forth. Fruit began to grow. It glorified God. The Lord Jesus said in St. John, he said, and this is your Father glorified when you bear much fruit. When you bear much fruit, this is how we're going to glorify God. And don't you know, in the greatest area of the greatest fight in your life, the greatest fight where the enemy is really just coming at you hard, that's the area that he's afraid. And if he could pray, he's praying every day, Lord, please don't let them find out who they really are. He's assigning demons. Please don't let them find out what they can do. Please, whatever you do, boys, I'm telling you, keep them down. Remind them of the past. Have people to tell them that they can't do this and that they can't do that. You better not go. You better not go. They are assigned to hold you down, to keep you in that bent position. But somebody's going to rise up and roar like a lion and refuse to be bound anymore. The Bible declares in the book of Psalms, or rather book of Proverbs, it says the wicked flee and nobody's pursuing him, but the righteous are bold as lions. It's time to stand up and roar. And roar. I may be small, but I'm powerful. My voice may squeak, but God will use it. I will roar. Is anybody gonna roar? Well, here's the great thing I'm telling you. After you hear this message, you will be tested. There will come an opportunity. We've had the same opportunity for years. For years. And sometimes we back down. 4 years. I can't get no talking here. But who will roar? Who will roar? God is raising up an army. It was the roar that the inhabitants of Jericho heard when God's people roared and the walls of the city fell down flat. It was a roar that the prison inmates heard when the doors were flinging open and chains were broken as Paul and Silas were there roaring in their praise and worship. It was the roar. Will you roar? Well, our time is gone. But if you would like to hear this sermon in its entirety, all you have to do is log on to airjesus.com and type in sermon number 6315. And you can even send this message to a friend. And remember these words as always. Thank you for joining us for Brothers of the Word. Because brother, you need the word.
This ends message number 6315 by Marcus Stroud. To hear other messages or to send this message number 6315 to a friend, simply go to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com. This was Straighten Up by Marcus Stroud. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often and keep your spirit charged up.